Good afternoon. This is Susan, and I'll be reading the pantograph from the Friday, May 26th, 2017 edition. And we'll begin with this breaking news story, Bloomington man arrested in hotel homicide. A Bloomington man faces murder charges in the stabbing death of a woman found Sunday in a Bloomington hotel room. First responders who were called at 12:26 p.m. Sunday found Sharon L. Hastings, age 27, of Peoria, unresponsive in a room at Econo Lodge at 401 Brock Drive. She was pronounced dead 2 hours later. In a statement late Thursday, Bloomington police said Kyle A. Breston, age 32, of Bloomington, had been arrested on murder charges in connection with Hastings' death. While police and the McLean County Coroner's Office continued Thursday, more than 4 days after Hastings was found dead, to decline to release the cause of death, the pantograph has learned Hastings was stabbed. Prior to the news release announcing Breton's arrest, police only described Hastings' death as suspicious. The McLean County Coroner's Office conducted an autopsy Monday, but also has released no details related to the cause of death. No other suspects are being sought at this time, police said, adding no further information would be released because the investigation is ongoing. Anyone with information is asked to contact Bloomington Police Detective Todd McCluskey at 309-434-2380 or TMCCLUSKY, so it's T. McCluskey, at cityblm.org. Anyone wishing to offer information anonymously is asked to call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. And let's continue now with this headline. Take a walk. Activity is key to kids' health. Ron and Laura Bass and their children went for a walk, but there was more going on than an evening stroll. It was a nature hike, as the Bass family, including children Noah, age 11, Joshua, 9, and Campbell, 6, walked on a trail in the Kenneth L. Schroeder Wildlife Sanctuary north of Hayworth, with the children pointing out plant life, spying critters, and running their fingers through creek water. "I like finding deer footprints," said Campbell, as she walked with her hiking stick. "We found a deer one time, and today we found a field mouse." "My favorite thing is putting my hands in the water," Joshua said. "I like tossing hedge apples," admitted Noah with a smile. The Downs family chatted as they walked, and Joshua and Campbell even walked with their arms around each other. But the real reason the Bass family went for a walk was to get exercise. "I like our time together while we're doing something active as a family," Laura said. "We're talking as a family, and nobody is distracted with other things." Regardless of everyone's mood before the hike, afterward, everyone feels better, and there is a sense of accomplishment, and our mood is better, said her husband. Central Illinois families, here's your health and fitness prescription for summer 2017. Be physically active as a family, because your kids soon won't have the benefit of physical education classes for nearly 3 months. Physical activity for everybody is the perfect medicine, said Michael Jennings, a physical education teacher at Unit 5's George Evans Junior High School. If you want to lose weight, if you want to improve this or that, physical activity has to be part of the equation. If kids are physically inactive during summer, they come back in August more lethargic, Jennings said. It's harder for them to run that first mile. They're more exhausted playing badminton. Kids who play outdoors during summer get right back into PE at the beginning of the school year, noted Jory Cooper, PE teacher at Hayworth High School and health teacher at Hayworth Junior High and High School. If they're not physically active during summer, they're more physically drained during PE activity, said Matt Willey, PE teacher at Bloomington Junior High School. They're not acclimated to the heat. They're miserable until their body acclimates, said Ron Bass, also a BJHS physical education teacher. We shouldn't give kids a summer break because their health can't wait, Cooper said. Physical education teachers agree the best way for kids to be active outside this summer is for parents to join them as often as possible. Long-term physical activity reduces the risk of obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, some cancer, and lower back pain. There are immediate health benefits, too. Physical activity helps you sleep better at night, it clears your head, it boosts your metabolism, and helps with digestion, Jennings said. Even walking 20 minutes a day helps. When people exercise, the body releases endorphins that induce good feelings. You feel better about yourself, which helps with stress management, Cooper said. Exercise can reduce symptoms of depression and anxiety in kids, Jennings said. Kids who are active generally have higher self-esteem. People who exercise are sharper cognitively than if they didn't exercise, Bass said. Chemicals are released in the brain that benefit your ability to learn. The more aerobic activity kids do, the more brain-derived neurotrophic factor is produced in the brain, which results in more neural connections, which means more learning can take place, Bass said. Their brains are primed and ready to learn. That helps kids and adults at work, school, and elsewhere, with everything from test-taking to being more efficient at work and studying, PE teachers agreed. Other benefits of exercise are social. When kids go out and play, they learn social skills. They learn how to interact with one another, Bass said. If they're making up their own game or adapting rules of sport to fit their circumstances or environment, they're learning problem-solving skills, compromise, and communication skills that will benefit them as they grow up and into adulthood, Willie said. When they're showing their creative side, that can help them in physics class, in art, or on the debate team, he said. They suggest parents set parameters, such as asking kids to play in a specific area or asking them to play with their siblings and neighborhood friends so they aren't alone. But the best way for parents to ensure kids' safety is for parents to join them, PE teachers said. You have to create time to do these things, Willie said. After a while, your body will want to do more. By the end of summer, your body will be craving physical activity. It's healthy, Joshua said, and it's fun. And let's move now to this next article, and that headline is Flag Holders Stolen from Waynesville Cemetery. The DeWitt County Sheriff's Department is investigating the theft of 25 flag holders placed in a Waynesville cemetery to honor veterans over Memorial Day weekend. This is disappointing and really despicable, said Sheriff Jared Schaffner. There is never a good time for crimes, but right before this holiday is unbelievable. The bronze flag holders stolen from Evergreen Cemetery on the village's east side cost $38 each to replace, Schaffner said. This is a weekend that should be about honoring veterans, and now there are several buried in that cemetery that won't get that honor, he said. The investigation is continuing. Maintenance crews from the cemetery informed the sheriff's department early Monday about the thefts. The Waynesville American Legion Post 1189 is taking donations to help pay for replacement holders. Donations can be sent to the post at P.O. Box 119, Waynesville, Illinois, 61778. To ensure donations are earmarked for the flag holders, write flag holder in the memo line. Memorial Day cemeteries are scheduled for the cemetery at 10 a.m. on Monday. And we'll continue now with this next article. And that headline reads, Tiratilli concedes mayor's race, plans to run again. Nearly 2 months after the April 4th election, the race for Normal mayor is settled. After losing to incumbent Chris Coos by 11 votes among 6,336 cast, requesting a partial recount and reviewing signatures from everyone who voted, Mark Tiratilli conceded Thursday, ending a bruising contest for the town's top office. Coos was sworn in May 1st, but Tiratilli had until Thursday to challenge that result in McLean County Circuit Court, including requesting a full recount or challenging voter signatures. There were many legitimate, unanswered questions concerning the ballots, and the work we did answered them all, he said. I want everyone to know that I feel confident in the outcome. Tiritilli acknowledged the cost was part of his thinking. He estimated a full recount would be at least $10,000. Tiritilli and his wife Tracy have already contributed more than $5,000 to his campaign as of a March 31st campaign finance report. "It's good to put a closure on this," Coos said of the race. "It's kind of what I thought was going to happen after the partial recount came out pretty clean." When asked if he'll pursue public office again, Tiritilli said, "Certainly I will be running for mayor again at this point." Coos said of whether he'll run again, "I learned once not to make predictions. That would be a decision I would make down the road," he said. "I don't even think about it. I think about what needs to be done in the next 3 to 4 years, and that's where my focus is." Coos, who is 68 years old, owns Vitesse Cycle Shop in Normal and has been mayor since 2003. Tiritilli, age 51, is a Bloomington High School science teacher. Tiritilli said he might run for Normal City Council or serve on a lower board, and Coos said Tiritilli has asked to meet with him about possibly serving the town. Tiritilli said he's not worried about potentially serving alongside Normal City Council member Jeff Fritzen, who held a news conference in mid-April regarding reckless, this is a quote, reckless, irresponsible, and indefensible, unquote, tactics in campaigns for mayor and council seats. Tiritilli was the only candidate Fritzen mentioned by name. Tiritilli said he hopes the town will consider the message sent by his near win. He campaigned on lowering the town's debt load and addressing town employee pension costs. "Disagreement is not irresponsible," Tiritilli said. "Healthy disagreement can energize a community." Coos said he's looking at what we should have done and what we didn't do, especially because the three council winners, incumbents Kevin McCarthy and Scott Preston and newcomer Shemberly Cummings, ran on ideas similar to Coos's. "I probably would have worked harder had I known it would be this close. I think anybody would say that," Coos said. Asked if he has any regrets, Tiritilli said his campaign aimed to increase voter turnout, raise awareness of town issues, and, of course, win. 2 out of 3, he ain't bad, he said. And now this headline. Uptown to host first car show June 3rd. Uptown Normal's newest event is a classic. More than 200 vehicles, from classic cars to new models, Mustangs to motorcycles, will visit Uptown's first car show, 4:30 to 8:30 on June 3rd. It's just the Uptown take on a standard cruise-in where you're able to show these rolling works of art in a beautiful setting, said Uptown manager Joe Tully of Cruising's Uptown Normal. For the three Twin City groups coordinating the event, which are the Car Community Automobile Club, McLean County Antique Automobile Club, and Cruisers, an Uptown cruise-in was a no-brainer, said organizer Don Kopak. They have frequent shows in downtown Bloomington and rural McLean County. "All our members are stoked about it because they like doing things that are different. We want to do the best we can for Uptown Normal, to do it right and put on a good show for everyone." Kopak said turnout is hard to guess, but 500 may come out, including car owners from Decatur, Peoria, Pontiac, and Springfield. Attendance is free for participants who will vote on the best cars and for spectators. The evening also will include music from Bloomington nostalgic rock group The Bygones and from JD's DJ Services of Delavan. The intent is to bring local people and people from outside Bloomington Normal to see Uptown, hopefully bring some business in, and have a good time, Kopak said. Tully said the event is a tough sell for businesses because cars take up a lot of space and require a lot of road closures, but they've been receptive. Beaufort Street will close from Uptown Circle to Linden Street, North Street from School Street to Uptown Circle, and Fell Avenue from College Avenue to Beaufort. "When we look at events in Uptown, typically we look at the stuff that will bring in the most people with the least amount of disruption," he said. "This one is tricky, but businesses have shown that they trust us. We've paid them the courtesy of being respectful and not closing the streets with every request." Kopak said he hopes the event becomes a tradition. "The first one is kind of like trial and error. You always have lessons learned and things you missed," he said. "Once we get over this hurdle and do it again, it'll be even better." And now for this headline. Gunfire reported in North Normal. Normal police are asking for the public's help in finding whoever fired multiple gunshots late Thursday night in an area of apartments on the town's north side. Police were called at 9:58 p.m. to the 1800 block of Rockingham Drive. As of early Friday, no injuries were reported, no property damage was found, and no one was in custody. Anyone with information related to the incident is asked to call Normal Police at 454-9535. And continuing on, dry weather, stable gas prices for Memorial Day weekend. Following a soggy spring, central Illinois will be mostly dry for Memorial Day weekend, say forecasters with the National Weather Service in Lincoln. It looks like our best chance of rain will be Saturday afternoon and evening, said Matt Barnes, a meteorologist with the NWS. Our chances for rain drop way down for Sunday, and it also appears that Monday will be mostly dry, according to our models from Thursday morning. Things could change, of course, but Barnes said the temperatures will be more summer-like than spring-like. The temperatures will be coming up and a lot warmer than they have been, he said. On Friday, we'll be close to 80 degrees, and Saturday will be the warmest day, with temperatures in the lower 80s. It will be a little cooler Sunday and Monday, but still pretty comfortable. For those planning to travel during the weekend, gas prices are nearly the same as they were at the start of the year, up 1.5 cents nationally, and are nearly the same as Memorial Day last year, $2.34 per gallon. On average, said Gas Buddy senior petroleum analyst Patrick DeHaan, prices rise nearly 50 cents from New Year's Day to Memorial Day. As a result, more Americans are planning to hit the road this summer compared to 2016, according to the annual summer travel study conducted by Gas Buddy. More than 82% of Americans said they will take a road trip this summer, a 7-point increase from last year, and a 9-point increase from 2015. It has been a remarkably quiet spring at the pump, perhaps even record-setting quiet, as gas prices have seen minimal fluctuation during the normally explosive springtime, DeHaan said. As a result, we are finding that more people than ever will be taking advantage by hitting the road. The incredible part is that nationwide we'll be spending $2.2 billion less over the long weekend versus the highest price Memorial Day weekend in 2011 at $3.78 per gallon. As of Thursday morning, the average price for gasoline in Bloomington Normal was $2.33, according to Gas Buddy. Because of the large number of people expected on the road this weekend, the Illinois Department of Transportation and state local law enforcement agencies are joining forces to remind motorists to wear their seat belts and avoid impaired driving. With Memorial Day weekend approaching, more vehicles will be on the road as people enjoy the start of summer, said Illinois Transportation Secretary Randy Blankenhorn in a press release. With increased traffic comes an increased risk for crashes. We urge everyone to be responsible on the road by buckling up and ensuring everyone in your vehicle is properly buckled. Crash data from 2011 to 2015 show an estimated 1,895 lives were saved in Illinois because of seatbelt use. Illinois law requires every vehicle occupant to wear a seatbelt. Through Memorial Day, motorists can expect to see increased patrols and enforcement zones statewide as part of IDOT's Click It or Ticket mobilization. Law enforcement will be looking for seatbelt violations and signs of impaired driving. The 14 weeks between Memorial Day and Labor Day typically are the deadliest on Illinois roads. As we kick off the busy summer driving season, it's important for everyone to buckle up every trip, every time, day or night, said Illinois State Police Director Leo P. Schmitz. Seatbelts save thousands of lives each year. Start your summer off right, protect yourself and your loved ones by buckling up, he said. We want everyone to arrive at their destination safely. And now for this. Babyfold forced to close residential treatment center. Responding to nearly 2 years without a state budget, the Baby Fold will discontinue residential treatment center services, the Normal-based Human Services Agency announced on Thursday. The program, which was reduced from serving 28 children to 14 children in 2015, will cease operations June 30th. Including all its programs, Baby Fold serves more than 1,000 vulnerable children and families. We will be working diligently to arrange new placements for the children over the next 30 to 60 days so they can be well settled prior to the next school year, Baby Fold President and CEO Diane Schultz said in a prepared statement. I'm saddened by the circumstances surrounding the state budget impasse that have made this decision necessary, Schultz said. Growth in other programs may allow some residential treatment center staff members to be absorbed into 14 open positions throughout the agency. But the cut has the potential to impact 27 full-time and 16 part-time staff members from Baby Fold's workforce of 248 people. The state of Illinois has neglected to invest what is necessary to pay providers who offer this type of specialized intensive treatment for children in residential care, Schultz said. The residential treatment center is for children who have been removed from their homes because of trauma, abuse, or neglect, and have significant mental health issues. The program in Normal is believed to be the only one of its kind in central Illinois. When the reduction was made in 2015, some children returned to their biological families and some moved to foster care after they completed their treatment. Rates paid to the Baby Fold for these services have not increased in over 10 years. Even after downsizing this program, the agency has been forced to subsidize $1.6 million over the last 2 years to compensate for the lack of appropriate funding. Additionally, the budget impasse has created an atmosphere of uncertainty about the funding available for residential services in the future, Schultz said. Meanwhile, an expansion of Hammett School, announced in April, in response to growing community needs to serve children with cognitive and learning disorders, including autism, will go forward as planned. The remodeling of the building at 612 Oglesby in Normal will begin in June, said Amy Beam, Baby Fold Vice President of Development and Public Relations. Baby Fold hopes that the Hammett School expansion will be complete in August 2018. And we'll move now to this headline. County receives grant to help with housing data. McLean County was one of four counties in the country to receive a Corporation for Supportive Housing grant to gather data to improve housing for mentally ill residents involved in the criminal justice system. The $200,000 grant was awarded Thursday at the CSH Annual Summit in Denver. The technical assistant grant will be used to gather information about residents with unmet housing and treatment needs when they are released from incarceration. In a statement issued Thursday, McLean County Board Chairman John McIntyre said the money will allow us to use data to ensure that supportive housing is targeted to those who are most in need and to improve outcomes for individuals that cycle between multiple systems of crisis care, including our homeless shelters, emergency rooms, and the criminal justice system. The development of supportive housing is part of the County Board's Mental Health Action Plan, released in 2015. The plan highlights several critical needs as part of an overhaul of community mental health in McLean County. Supportive housing, defined as an affordable place to live with ready access to services, is one of the county's top priorities outlined in the report. The goal of the new Social Innovation Fund Pay for Success initiative is to help communities match eligible individuals with supportive housing. Those projects could be financed with a mix of private, public, and charitable funding sources developed through CHS partnerships. Counties will have 18 months to complete their data gathering work and determine if supportive housing could be developed through the Pay for Success model. The other counties to receive grant funds are Salt Lake County in Utah, Boone County, Missouri, and Clark County, Nevada. The new grant is funded with the support of the Corporation for National and Community Services Social Innovation Fund and the Laura and John Arnold Foundation. And now this headline, Dunkin' Donuts coming to Lincoln. A new Dunkin' Donuts should be open by the end of the year in Lincoln. Construction on the new restaurant has started at 3089 Woodlawn Road, east of Interstate 55, between Thornton's and Russell Stover's on Lincoln's west side. The franchise will be owned and operated by franchise holder Nick Bott, who already operates a Dunkin' Donuts in Springfield. The wet spring has slowed construction some, but the building's foundation is nearly done. The Lincoln Planning Commission approved the plans for the store, which includes a drive-through lane. And now for a little update on services and parades that will mark Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day will be commemorated throughout Central Illinois with special services, parades, and other activities in honor of those who have died fighting America's war. In Bloomington, members of Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 454 and its auxiliary will distribute poppies and literature on Saturday at the Farmers Market in downtown Bloomington and on Saturday in front of various stores. Evergreen Memorial Cemetery will have daily events Saturday through Monday, including tours and ice cream socials, including a ceremony by American Legion Post 635 at 1 p.m. at the mausoleum. Call 309-827-6950. American Legion Post 56 and Post 635 will also conduct a Memorial Day ceremony at 1 p.m. Sunday at Park Hill Cemetery in Bloomington. The Great Plains Life Foundation's Memorial Mile Run will include Glory Wave of military personnel, fire, police, and first responders in the fourth heat. The race, that starts at 7:45 a.m. Monday, will be open to all ages in six heats and will follow the Memorial Day parade route before the parade. Information is available at their website. The parade will kick off at 9 a.m. Monday and proceed from Front Street through downtown Bloomington, then to Miller Park. The time was incorrect in Thursday's Go calendar. VFW members will march in the parade and attend ceremonies afterward at the Miller Park Bandstand. This year's keynote address will be given by Senior Vice Commander Robert L. Henderson of the American Legion Department of Illinois. There will be an additional ceremony at the Korean Vietnam Memorial at the park. The VFW group then will proceed to Danvers Cemetery to honor John H. Krause, a McLean County soldier killed in World War I for whom the post was named. That ceremony is at 11:45 a.m. American Legion Post 635 will have a ceremony at 12:15 p.m. at Evergreen Memorial Cemetery. And that concludes this first part of the reading for the pantograph of May 26th. Stay tuned, and we'll continue with the second part. It's been a pleasure reading for you today.